evening, everyone. I'm Lisa Feely, your host of An Accountable Catholic. And tonight we have a wonderful person with us, joining us as our guest. But as followers of Jesus, we all have to be more accountable. We need to make sure, as followers of Jesus and believers of a greater God, that we are using the talents God gave us. And in doing that, tonight's discussion, we are going to talk about divine intervention. And Jim is just the person to do that. So welcome, Jim Fongheiser.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm excited to have you on our show, Jim. You're a fellow Catholic. You're a dad, I know, and, you know, been an independent consultant for a while. You're going to talk a little bit about that, all the way from Pennsylvania. So we're glad that you're joining us. Appreciate it. And you have some great stories, I think, to share with our listeners tonight on divine intervention. And really appreciate you coming on. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more in detail and share your journey with our listeners?
Okay. Well, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania and didn't really know where that was going to lead me, but I ended up going off to college, was trained as a biologist, had a master's degree, and went off to find work in research. And I'll talk some of about that with some of the interventions in my life too. But I did research for a bit, got drafted into nuclear power. In a sense, they had a need after Three Mile Island to have people who could develop radiation protection programs. And after 15 years of that, that was plenty. I ended up having an opportunity to go into business on my own, which I will also tie in with some of the divine intervention. So in a sense, I ended up running my own business, but I am not a businessman. And I will tell anyone who asks that don't ever do it the way I do it. I don't have any contracts. Everything is like a gentleman's agreement. I do the work, they pay me. If they don't pay me, I don't come back. But that almost never happens. So that's not a real big part. I mean, the journey is more important than exactly where I am. And I think part of divine intervention is also recognizing the opportunities, or being aware, being fine-tuned and accountable in a sense for what's been given to us.
I love it. Well, Jim, as we get started on tonight's topic, I love it, but I have to say, as an individual, to me, you have to have the right mindset to really appreciate the divine intervention, right? Or to recognize it. In other words, to me, and I'd love your insight on this, if someone's really confused on listening to God's truth, they're listening to so much noise. And I think that's what you and I have a lot in common. Why I love having you on the show is there's so much out there in mainstream media and social media. To me, there's a lot of wolves in sheep clothing that especially are getting to a lot of the younger generation and, you know, other our other younger brothers and sisters, I guess. And so to me, if you are listening to all those untruths and you're uncertain and you're not sure what your talents are that God's given you and how to use them, it's then harder to be accountable and it's harder to accept God's, recognize when God's trying to intervene in your life. So, you know, I'd love for you to also talk a little bit about that as you're talking about divine intervention is how do we help, especially younger Catholics and Christians, I guess, and obviously all people who might be listening to our radio show, how do you recognize God's love and his desire to intervene and not be our own worst enemy, right? Like, oh, I read this, I heard this on the radio and must be true. You know, we lose our way very quickly. And so I don't know if that's a true assumption on my part, that if you're really not paying attention to what the truths really are versus all this noise, you know, to me, divine intervention, you've got to be kind of open-minded and be able to listen to God.
Well, along with what you're saying is that the world today is so complicated, but yet it is so very simple. And the problem is that there is all that background noise. And what we need sometimes to hear God's voice or see our opportunities and the interventions is quiet. And we don't have quiet anymore. People wake up with their phones in their hand and are busy, distracted all day until they're asleep, till they fall asleep doing something else. And that's not, I mean, I'm not saying that as if that doesn't affect me. Of course it does. But you don't find the truth until you slow down. I found just in many things I do, there was something the other day. It's a nothing incident, but concern about a second car that was, I think, falling apart. And I was panicked because the registration was due, the inspection was due. Am I going to get rid of it? Am I going to fix it? And I was so worried about it. It was nothing. As soon as I paused for a minute, I realized there's only, it's so simple that I can't even tell you how simple it was to just get to the next step. But I wasn't even able to listen because I was so caught up in other things. Right. So that's not really, there was no real divine intervention there. It was just breathing. If I breathe for a minute, I'll see the solution. Right. It was easy.
But just some little tips that help us remember to do that so that if divine intervention comes, we're paying attention. I guess I agree with you wholeheartedly. If you're running a million miles an hour and you don't have, my parents always said, take time to smell the roses. If you're not going to take the time, life's going to fly by, right?
Exactly. And you and I may not be, we're not unique in this. Everybody has these opportunities and these interventions are there, but do we see them? Or do we sometimes just consider them coincidences? Like, wasn't that a coincidence? But I don't believe in that. I think things happen for reasons. And I don't like to think of God as a big puppet master pulling every string, but he's certainly the director of the whole process. So when needed, there's interventions that are available. There's grace. If we ask, we get the grace to do the things we need. We don't always see the answer right in front of us, but they're there. And there's sometimes more than one path. Yep. So
I love it. Well, I know you had a couple of good stories and information to share with our listeners. Let's get into some of those. So how do you really define divine intervention, I guess? Let's start with there. And what do you think it is, or what have you found in your life, Jim?
Well, I don't know how to describe it in a technical way, you know, how grace versus angelic support and direct intervention all work. But I recognize it when I see it, and I'm not afraid or embarrassed to say when I do. But so there's been some great things and some very small things that I think fall into that category. When I graduated college. I graduated college. I didn't have money to go to grad school. Everybody said you should go to grad school. I just needed to get a job. We didn't have a lot of money where I came from. So I came back home. I was planning to find a job. There were no jobs where I was. But at that time, my town was hit by a pretty massive flood. The flood killed over 100 people. The town was pretty much destroyed. And I spent weeks working in emergency response, like helping. Wow. And my mother was a nurse, and we set up a station for first aid and a firehouse. And every day there was talk about finding bodies. It was a pretty hard time. So you forget that you're connected to a bigger world because your world is now that just this big. So the first phone call, we had no services, no electric, no phone, no anything. And when that was restored maybe 3 weeks later, the first call that I got was someone to see if I was alive. Well, I cried because I didn't even think of that. That wasn't even a possibility. The second call I got was from Villanova University, where I went undergrad, offering me a teaching assistantship to go to grad school. I hadn't even asked for one. And they didn't know what happened in my town. And the third call I got was from a friend who was looking for a roommate, and he was going to grad school. He was going to Temple, so I didn't do that. That happened for me, and I went to grad school free. I was paid to be a graduate assistant and even had a place to live, not free, but I mean, those circumstances, I don't know what would have happened for the rest of my life if I didn't have that opportunity, and I didn't do that. That was divine intervention to me.
Right, and it doesn't sound like you sat back and said, let me take 6 months to make a decision.
Well, that's a problem. And you know what? I don't have great decisiveness. I'm analytical, and I can do all of that on the front end, make great judgments, but I'm not real decisive. But that was right in front of me, and I recognized it for what it was, and I took it, because otherwise, you're right, it would have been gone.
Right.
Somebody else would have filled the spot that I was offered. It would have been gone.
Right. Well, that's great. I mean, and we hear all the time, right? And I don't ever know where, I'm sure it's somewhere in our Bible, but you know, when God closes one door, he opens a window or what have you. But sometimes, though, you're second guessing yourself. And I think that's because I guess innately, I think that we think we're in control, but we're not in control, are we? If we're in control, no. We're in trouble.
Exactly.
So can you give another examples as you're going along on how people recognize? I loved your kind of mini stories or something. Those are great.
Well, I have lots through my life. And like I said, some might seem very small, others are very big. So I think that was a big one. Sure. And a small one, when I was done with grad school, I was looking for work. I was asked to stay on as an assistant professor for a while, but I had to go and find a real job. And it was hard. Research positions were, most people wanted to go on to a PhD or an MD program. I just wanted to work. So I searched hard for a long time in the whole Philadelphia area, which was full of research, didn't find anything suitable. And I went to this place in person, because that's a lost art to go somewhere in person. But
exactly.
I went to their HR department, handed a resume. They said they didn't have anything. And as I was leaving, a man walked into the office and started a discussion. And he asked who I was. And I explained. He took my resume. And here he was like one of the lead researchers there. And he hired me on the spot to go and do work that was incredible work for that I was able to do for about a year and a half before I got my next opportunity. And again, I did a lot of the right things, but I didn't do that. That was an opportunity, a small one, but I mean, it was life-changing too.
That's great. Do you have some thoughts on, do you feel like there's some people that are just special and they get all the lucky breaks in life? And I think so many people want to have, I guess we lean toward having almost a victim mindset. Well, Jim's just getting awfully lucky. I mean, all of this is just luck and I'm not getting any lucky breaks. And, you know, and then they just want to get down where you're anxious and you're causing yourself. It's almost like that self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't have a good mindset, what are your tips or thoughts or a response when people want to say, well, some people are just born unlucky and others are, you know, have all the luck in the world?
Well, I like the way you said that, but I will tell you that a lot of it is your mindset. Like, as you said, you can look at the same things two different ways all the time. If you're ever going to do a show on unlucky, I could be on that too. I could talk to you for a long time about all the terrible things that happen, but those don't shape me. But, you know, they're obstacles. They may be a setback, but they don't shape me. That doesn't define me. So when you look at something, you have to have a positive outlook. And one of the keys for me is that I believe hopelessness is a lack of God. There's godlessness is hopelessness. So whatever we have that's bringing us down, we have a certain amount of space for grief and misery, and we fill it with whatever we have, and more or less, whatever grief or misery we have. And if we let that defeat us, then we'll never see these opportunities. The divine interventions will be invisible to us.
I think that's huge, Jim. I love how you said that. It's like, if we could repeat that several times. And I know, I guess I shouldn't say I know, I've been fortunate enough where I guess I was taught by my Lieutenant Colonel father and my mom, who are very, you know, disciplined, to just not let that happen. Almost like fake it until you make it. And some people say, well, you really can't do that. But I do think if you keep smiling and keep saying, nope, we're good, I'm happy, this is going to work, it somehow works. And I don't think it's luck. I really think that I rely on God, at least from a very young age. I'm just like, you know what? I am not driving this. I mean, I'll use all the talents you gave me, and I'll hit the pedal to the metal best I can. But we cannot think that we control this big wide world with, you know, billions of people in it and what can happen. But bad stuff can happen. And, you know, if you then look at that and say, well, man, I'm a failure, I'm terrible, I can't figure out, you don't want to ever go down that rabbit hole, I don't think. And I love how you said that, because if you don't, to me, if you've got God in your heart, for sure, if you really believe what he's told us are the truths, then you can't be hopeless. You can't be. You can't be. I mean, right? Faith, hope, and love, right? I mean, we have it. We have it in us. And then that's what goes back to why I wrote the book on being accountable. To me, you have to be accountable. If you're, especially if you're Christian, you're called to be a moral leader. You're called to step out a little bit more than someone who just thinks they can do it all on their own. That's why I love having you talk about this, because I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that might not have had the luckiest life, but guess what? It was our mindset and our attitude and our closeness to keeping God in our heart to get us to see the divine intervention, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to take a really quick break here. And when we come back, we've got a few more stories and then we'll wrap up. So thank you, Jim. We'll take about a minute break here.
Carolina Catholic Radio is excited to announce an alliance with Lisa Feely, author of An Accountable American. Her new book offers a blueprint to every person who wants to embrace how to be accountable. Learn how positively to impact your life and the lives of anyone around you. 50% of the book profits will be donated to a local 501c3 Catholic charity, including Carolina Catholic Radio and those affiliated with us. 2020 was a tough year for many people. Consider donating to charity by buying a copy of An Accountable American, just $20, on our website. Achieving accountability is a great way to start the new year. If you want to learn how to achieve enlightenment, peace, and prosperity, this is a great start. Now back to An Accountable Catholic Radio Show.
Hi, we're back from the break, and we're going to keep with some good messages, I think, on how to recognize divine intervention with a few more stories. So, I didn't get a lot of detail from Jim, but he has got a great story to share that I say great in that maybe a little bit of sadness, but it worked out well. So why don't you share a story that you were saying on how you recognized another big example of divine intervention, Jim?
Sure. My older son, when he was born, there were no indications there were problems, but within a day, he was way out of the league of the hospital where he was born. Many different problems. He had his first car ride was not with me. It was in an ambulance to another hospital. And his second ride was to a third. And within a short time, they didn't have a diagnosis for him, but he had multiple anomalies and several problems in his heart. And he had one kidney and it didn't work right. So that became the high priority. He had surgery within his first 2 weeks. And that luckily after a while started to improve, but he had to go home and strengthen up for an open heart surgery to repair some serious issues. And I remember holding him, praying before handing him to the doctor, asking for an all or nothing cure. I wanted him fixed or take him. And that has haunted me ever since, because that's not what I got. And that wasn't what his plan was. But so the surgery went well, but after surgery, they needed room in the intensive care unit, and they moved him to the floor after 1 day in intensive care. And he was an infant, he was young, and I stayed with him. I wouldn't let him be alone. So at night, I'm just crashed in a chair, and a nurse came in the dark with a little flashlight to administer meds. He still had a central line cut into him for that purpose. And when the nurse left, there's no reason for this at all. It's dark. I got up, I walked around the bed, pulled his covers back, and he was bleeding out through his central line.
Oh my goodness.
There was no, and I was immediately soaked with sweat. I ran and got the nurse and brought her in, and she was so upset because they don't use central lines on the floor. That was an intensive care unit thing. And she just hadn't turned it right. And she fixed everything. It was fine. No consequences because it was done that quick. But there was no reason that I would have gotten up to do that, that I was being told to do that. And I matched that with that prayer that I had before. And the two come together and realize that now he's 34 years old and I still, he's like a best friend of mine. That's what we were given, and that's what we have. And that was still, like, you can imagine the feeling, like all those emotions all at one time.
Wow, what an incredible story. I love it. I have one of my own, but I don't know if it's that powerful. I think that's just incredible. But when you started to talk about a little bit, gave me an inkling of your story. The one that maybe is similar, but not that close, was that my dad, when he was getting ready to really, we felt he was in his probably last few days in a hospital. And to your point, you know, I was there on a Sunday morning, and I try never to miss Mass, but it was Palm Sunday. And I was trying to figure out, oh my gosh, how am I going to, and I was just in a regular hospital, wasn't a Catholic hospital or anything like that. We were just one of the bigger hospitals in Dallas. And so I'm just sitting there, and I thought, okay, I'll just kind of try to say some prayers here. But I was trying to keep my, you know, my dad was still sleeping, and I was trying to stay really quiet, but I wanted to be with him. And so I figured the doctor kept putting off, you know, hey, we're going to come see him. And so I was starting to miss Mass after Mass because I was trying to Google, well, what's the next church? Because I grew up there, so I knew how to get to my church and everything, but I didn't know all the nearby churches because the hospital was pretty far away from my normal church. So I kept Googling, okay, where am I going to do this? And then the doctor says, oh, I'm going to be later. And it's like, I can't leave until I see this doctor to make sure dad's okay, so I can go to Mass and I come back. So I kid you not, Jim, I'm Google the final last one, and they're like, nope, I'm going to miss it. So I'm basically not going to get church. And I don't know the last time I ever missed a Palm Sunday. So I was, it's like, oh, okay, it is meant to be. That's okay. I'm just going to stay here with dad. Well, we're in a dark room. Like you said, they're always very dark when everyone's trying to sleep. It's probably, you know, now 10:30, 11 in the morning, you know, so, but we had all the shades and everything because dad was still sleeping. And all of a sudden, this lady, which we had a do not disturb sign, you know, on the door and everything, because my dad was just about, I think he had just entered hospice. So they weren't going to take blood, you know, they weren't going to do anything. And this woman just leans in the door and she says, do you want to receive some bread? Do you need bread? Well, I was thinking they were coming for meals. Like I thought she was a food service person. So I said, no, ma'am, we're not going to have any food. We're okay. And she said, no, you need to receive bread, don't you? And so then I just kind of like sat up and I'm like, I'm sorry, are you talking about communion? She said, yes, I was going to come in and do Mass with you. And I said, okay, sure. So she came over and she did almost a full Mass, like a little, you know, she says all the basic prayers, Catholic and everything. And I said, thank you so much. I said, I can't, this is fantastic. I said, I was trying to find where to go Mass and I couldn't find where to go to Mass. So then she left. My dad wakes up at the very end of it, you know, and he thought he was getting last rites. He's like, I'm not dying, but he really was close to dying. So we, you know, I said, no, dad, don't worry, go back to sleep. So she left, but Jim, here's the wildest part. So about a half hour later, I go out, you know, because then the doctor finally came and everything, and I leave. And I said to the nurses at the station, I said, I just want to tell you, I'm really sorry. I don't know your hospital very well at all. I know you're not a Christian hospital, right? You're not affiliated with anybody. I said, but it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful service that you have these, you know, ladies that I don't know if she was a nun or whatever, but walking around, you know, doing Mass in rooms. Jim, they looked at me like I had nine heads. They said, we don't have anybody offering Mass. I said, the lady just was in my dad's room and stuff, and she did a full Mass for us and offered. And they said, no, ma'am, we don't have any of that. We're not sure what you're talking about. I said, well, do you have a chapel? I mean, do you have something? She says, we're just a basic hospital. We're a public hospital. So that no one knew who this lady was or anything. And they literally thought I was nuts. They were like, so.
No, that is amazing.
So, I mean, I do think, you know, I mean, so I joked with my friends when my dad passed and my sister, and I was like, yep, just Google Palm Sunday Masses and it comes right to the bedroom of the hospital. I don't know what else to say. Yeah.
That was the best Mass ever.
I'm telling you, I do truly, when people say, and I guess I'll leave it at that in case anybody's joining our show that's not a follower, I don't know how you can go through life with these divine interventions, with what I'll call mini miracles or mini reasons to like stop us in our paths. And you said it phenomenally. You've got to slow down. We've got to listen. We can't think we're in complete control.
That's right? Well said. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That is an amazing story.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to be telling it later.
Yours is amazing. I mean, that's phenomenal, but right. Why do we do the things we do? Right. Why did stuff happen like that? We didn't, we're not planning that. Right. And so I just think I think divine intervention's a very big thing that we should recognize and stuff, but I don't think you can do that unless you're going to plan to be calmer, understand God exists, God's truth's there, and be willing to be open-minded to take your time and realize that we're not in control. We're not the ones running at all. But so do you have any other final thoughts before we end this session? I know you and I are going to chat for a future show, so we'll go on to that for the next one. But
well, I wouldn't know how to tie it up well like you do, but I know that sometimes when we're trying to figure out where we're at right now, I read something from Viktor Frankl. I think that he was trying to help someone once, and he said that imagine yourself on your deathbed and define your life, give the purpose of your life. And so the person he was talking to, I don't remember their response, but he said, but you are not on your deathbed. You have from now until then to make that whatever. And factoring in your divine inspirations and everything else, you can become what you wanted to see on that deathbed.
Do you feel like people should really plan a plan? I mean, I guess my parents taught me again at a very little age or young age, if you fail to plan, plan to fail. Because if you don't really plan, if you don't make it intentional, I guess I really feel like everything our life is given, we only have one life. I think we need to make it intentional. Intentional, what do we want to do? How are we going to use the talents God gave us? What's your thoughts on that or recommendations for, I guess, younger Christians that might be watching the show, Jim? And you and I, they're looking at a bunch of, I'm going to say more wisdom, mature.
Well, I think everybody should have a plan. The problem is with the details. So you have to be flexible, because no matter what your plan is, things don't work the way. I forget what general it was. It was Eisenhower. Somebody said that every battle plan is great until the battle starts.
I love it. That's right.
You really have to be flexible and not overwhelmed by things that don't go your way. But if you don't have a plan, you will flounder. You won't have a sense. So the biggest thing is to not give up. You have to keep moving in a direction. And you can change directions, but you have to have that drive. You have to do something.
I love how you said that. I'm going to lean on my Lean Six Sigma experience as a master black belt. And we have what's called an iterative process. I don't know if you've heard that term, but iterative, obviously in your world, you probably have, where we move forward 5 steps, but then we might back up a step and use other steps to go forward again. And what it means is revisit your plan all the time. Be agile in adapting. So that you don't keep going down a wrong, a complete wrong path too far. And so many people, like you say, even if they have a plan, they'll say, that's it. You're going to use 15 steps. Well, guess what? We discovered step 9 was not the right step. So why do the other 6 or 7? We have to back up. And then other thing I would say is one of my favorite songs you and I were chatting about earlier is Unanswered Prayers, right? Because I think you have a plan. You say, oh, this is absolutely the way it's going to go. And I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. I am so thankful. That song reminds us, be thankful for, those prayers not coming true sometimes because someone else had a much bigger picture. Right?
Very, very good. Yes, I agree.
They're looking at, I can't remember, you might know, but someone at some point said, we think our life, we might live, if we're fortunate, 75, 80 years. But for God, that's like, that's just a wink. So it's like, we're planning and struggling, 60, 70 years or whatever. And he's thinking that's like not even a blade of grass, you know, or whatever. So I'd rather someone be way up above going, here's what you need to do, kid. You're not going down that. But so, well, Jim, thank you so much. Again, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. Do you have any information, or if you do, make sure you share it, and we'll put it here at the end for them to get in contact with you on, or any of your, you know, any charity or anything that you do to, so that we can support you in your endeavors as well.
I think I'll get a chance to talk to you on other occasions about some of those. So I don't have anything that I would pass along with that right now, because everybody has their favorites anyway, right?
Absolutely. But we ought to all support each other. We got to get there. So, well, thank you so much. Thank you to all of our listeners for listening in. This is Lisa Feely with An Accountable Catholic, and we would love to have you back next Thursday at 5:00. So thank you, Jim, and God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too, Lisa.